Penguin Random House Audio presents Rewitched by Lucy Jane Wood. Read for you by Evie Hargreaves.
For the girls who grew up on the wonder of witches and knew that magic would be found at their own fingertips. Chapter 1. Something Wicked. A witch will always sense that she is in the presence of another born of magical persuasion, before any introductions are made, before any actual magic is displayed. She will subconsciously register their arrival for herself. First, a witch will feel it on her skin. The tingles kick in, like sherbet and static, dragging up the goose flesh of her arms to a shiver. She'll taste a shift in the air, as it becomes sharper, sweeter, almost coppery. Then comes the smell, distinct like earth and embers and crisp toffee apples, combining to a heady, rich scent of what can only be described as warmth and home. And, above all else, the pricking of her ears as well as her thumbs will strike a match and fire up the coals of intuition. The very sound of a witch's footsteps will whisper that something is coming her way. Unfortunately for Belle, such valuable insight into how things worked had proved largely redundant, because at 29 years, 363 days, and a handful of hours old, she had yet to encounter another witch at all, aside from her own mother, of course, and her grandmother, who had passed beyond the veil a handful of years ago. There had been a brief, surprising, and somewhat awkward visit from a pair of coven leaders, too, who'd stopped by on her 15th birthday to begin the long process of her endarkenment. But Belle had limited recollection of that, as she had found the whole thing entirely mortifying and hidden behind her hair, blushing and willing it to end for the majority of the ceremony. She had shared no contact with the coven at all since her powers were first instated, and had been left to her own devices to explore the possibilities of magic, as was custom. Growing up with her mother's peaceful, soft-hearted spells as part of the everyday meant that an intrinsic sense of magic was always nearby. There was no great moment of recognition, because it always was. The rush of magic that flowed from Bonnie and washed over Belle whenever she was around her mother was so normal, she barely even noticed the hit anymore. Belle had long since stopped anticipating such a meeting with another witch. Their kind was rare these days, getting rarer with every generation, apparently, and she had no intention of seeking them out for herself and inviting any trouble. She lived her life quietly in among the non-witchy world, and that was more than fine with her.
Belle, what have I told you about these loyalty cards? You dish out stamps willy-nilly. You're costing me a fortune.
Violet was an immaculate businesswoman. Her expensive suits were always a soft shade of blue or purple, a lifelong habit that came with a colourful name, her silver hair set and sprayed freshly twice a week. These days she walked slowly but with purpose on an elegant silver cane and had always been the holder of an impressive vintage scarf collection. In all her years of working at Luna Books, Belle was almost certain she'd never seen Violet wear the same one twice. Although still overseeing the goings-on, Vi had slowed down her appearances at the shop a while ago, popping in only once or twice a week to slide a finger across the dust, pinch everybody's cheeks, and check that Belle wasn't doing anything as foolish as giving out two loyalty stamps instead of one. "Vi," Belle called over her shoulder as she slid a stack of new releases into their temporary home. "It's 2 p.m. on a Thursday and the place is packed. Don't think you need to worry about me handing out paper bookmarks." She reached up on her tiptoes to the top shelf with a particularly chunky mythology collection, then politely shouldered her way back through the sea of customers towards her boss. Violet gave her a slightly sheepish look as she handed over a couple of stray hardbacks.
"Well, you know what, I don't mind, really. I rather liked how you used to put them inside every book as a little treat. But Christopher does say if we count the pennies, then the pounds will..."
"Christopher says a lot of things," Belle interrupted. Violet's eyebrows shot up and Belle carefully reined herself back in. "Which is great. Always love his input, obviously." She cleared her throat, still just adjusting to him being around the place and making his changes.
Changes that he said we should have made a long time ago, Violet reasoned.
Right. It's just that his suggestions... Well, they don't necessarily add up to the Lunar Box experience that everybody has always come here for.
I am well aware that you two have different ideas about the future of this place, but you also know that if it were up to me, I would never have had to bring my son into the picture in the first place. What choice did you leave me with?
Violet shot her a loaded look from under a poised eyebrow. Belle sighed.
Come on, Vi, we've been over this several hundred times. If only you'd stop being so selfish and grant the wish of a feeble old woman.
Violet wore a forlorn look, but smiled as she leafed through a children's title about a boarding school with her exquisite red manicured fingertips. Belle squinted in her boss's direction.
Nothing about you is feeble. You're a menace to society. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm an innocent, ailing old lady who simply wishes she could leave her cherished shop in the hands of she who loves it most, Violet said. You could run things as you wish. I could spend my afternoons at the theatre instead of nagging you about dwindling stock levels.
Are you ever going to give this up? Belle interrupted with affectionate annoyance. She was secretly touched by how keen Violet still was to sell her shop, having begun the crusade years ago to hand over the reins to her pride and joy.
Not until we sign the papers, which we will, Violet said with a knowing nod,
now examining the table of autumn reeds and adjusting a book by millimetres to the exact angle.
Which we won't, Belle corrected her. I've told you a million times, there's no way I could run this place on my own.
She passed the oak desk, tidying the greetings cards and small selection of seasonal bouquets that lined the till area as she went. They were loaded with miniature pumpkins and dusky bunny tails to mark the incoming start of October, a subtle floresco bellus incantation, lacing the stems and keeping them remarkably fresh.
Oh, how many times, Belle, you wouldn't be on your own, Violet audibly tutted this time. You've got Jim and Monica here through the week, and that new girl with the unfortunate nose ring at the weekends. You know what I mean. I'm talking about taking the reins, generally not my speciality. I sort of just float around. I ain't done a damn useful thing around here since the printing press was considered modern technology. Every good idea for years has been yours. But it's still your baby. I'm just here making sure books come in, books go out, customers are happy. That's about the long and short of it. And what more is there to it? You and I both know that you practically run the place single-handedly. I'm too old for all of this now. I have better things to do than recommend thrillers to the unwashed masses. There's nothing wrong with thrillers. You're a snob, Vi. And you know what I'm like? I'd probably run it into the ground within a few months. Less of the self-deprecation, please. I can't stand it. You're a highly capable, knowledgeable woman who I trust implicitly. You've worked your magic here for longer than I care to remember.
At this, Belle choked on the air and spluttered out a coughing fit, earning a thump on the back from Violet.
Mostly because it ages me dreadfully. You're just too scared to take a risk, Violet continued. And you care too much about what might go wrong. She pointed a sharp, shiny nail at Belle.
You're very good at complimenting and insulting me all at once, Belle frowned, returning to her spot behind the till. Violet leaned against the green marble countertop and pulled out a pocket mirror to move a single hair back into place.
It is a fine art,
she smacked her lips together.
But if you continue to refuse to take up my brilliant offer, then you know I have no choice but to leave Christopher in charge of things. I don't trust outsiders for the job. If I'm to properly enjoy a retirement of luxury cruises and personal shopping, Luna needs to be in capable hands. And Christopher is capable hands.
Of course, Belle said placidly, taking a breath to swallow her pride. The man might not know a paperback from a pumpkin, but he does know his profits and losses.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?